I mean, this is a guy, he has a big audience. I think he has a big ego. It seems like, you know, he's probably thinking, you know, maybe I should just run for president myself.
I'm Jane Costin, and this is What A Day, a show that has some surprising news that you will never, ever believe. A family member of a Trump administration official will likely benefit from a White House policy shift. I know, you're stunned. See, the Trump administration had backed a ban on intoxicating hemp products like gummies and sodas last year. But now the White House is asking Congress to delay the enforcement of that ban with the support of hemp industry insiders. Among those insiders, Brett Warley, White House Chief of Staff Susie Wiles' son-in-law. Now look, influence peddling and pay-for-play allegations are bad. But this time, it's for gummies one could take before watching old episodes of Love It or List It. Hypothetically. On today's show, we talk to The Bulwark's Will Sommer about Tucker Carlson's maybe, potentially, third-party run in 2028. Before we go into that horrifying region of possible hell, here's what we're following today, Thursday, August 6th.
8 days ago, Dr. Anthony Fauci sat before this committee in the witness chair under subpoena for conduct covered by the President Biden's full and unconditional pardon, reaching back to 2014. Dr. Fauci faced no risk of federal prosecution. All he had to do was tell the truth. More than 100 times, though, he refused.
And that really bothered you, didn't it, Senator Paul? A Senate committee voted along party lines today to hold Dr. Anthony Fauci in contempt of Congress. But for what? For refusing to answer questions and invoking his Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination at a hearing on his handling of the COVID-19 pandemic. In doing so, Fauci raised fresh legal questions about Congress's ability to compel testimony from a previously pardoned witness. Quick refresher, Fauci received a pardon last year from then-President Joe Biden. But Kentucky Republican Senator Rand Paul said constitutional protection does not apply. He argues Fauci's pardon means he doesn't have to worry about the threat of prosecution for anything he did while he was leading the U.S. COVID response. Paul has said he intends to send the contempt referral directly to the Justice Department, rather than first to the full Senate. Democrats, however, have questions over the legal validity of such a maneuver. I have questions as to why the Republican Party has decided that yelling about 2020 is a valuable contribution to the discourse. President Donald Trump spent part of his Thursday, as he typically does, screaming on the internet, this time about a Washington Post report regarding his in-person screaming. The Post reported on Thursday that Trump yelled at Defense Secretary/Little Boy Pete Hegseth during a cabinet meeting held at Camp David last week. The president was allegedly demanding answers relating to the reporting of munitions shortages that have impacted Trump's war on Iran. As we mentioned on the show earlier this week, the U.S. has run extremely low on surface-to-surface guided missiles and missile interceptors as a result of the war in Iran. White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt denied the allegations, but in response to the Post reporting, Trump posted today on Truth Social that, quote, "The leakers of these treasonous statements are being hunted down. Long-term jail sentences will be sought," which does not imply the reporting was false, exactly. But don't worry. Trump later posted, quote, "I am extremely happy with the job that Pete Hegseth is doing and that everything in Iran is going just fine." Speaking of the war, Oman and Iran are attempting to negotiate terms to reopen the Strait of Hormuz to shipping for a fee. You know, the strait that was open with no fees before the war began.
"Now, therefore, be it resolved by this Parliament as follows. We seek the resolution of Parliament that Parliament supports the decision of His Excellency, the President of the Republic of Uganda, to deploy the Uganda People's Defense Forces in the Gaza Strip for a peacekeeping mission in accordance with the Constitution of Uganda and Section 38 of Uganda People's Defense Forces Act. I beg to move."
Uganda's defense minister sought and won parliamentary approval today to deploy troops to Gaza. The successful motion is Uganda's first public indication that it's willing to join the International Stabilization Force. The force was announced by Trump's Board of Peace earlier this year to secure the territory following the Israel-Hamas war. It was not immediately clear why Uganda agreed to deploy in Gaza or if there was a quid pro quo involved. However, the defense minister cited Uganda's military capabilities stemming from its peacekeeping deployments in countries such as Somalia. Here on What A Day, we like to bring you the most important news of the moment. So grab a spoon and your milk of choice, because today, that means cereal. W.K. Kellogg, the company behind Fruit Loops and Apple Jacks, said it will remove artificial colors from all its cereals by the end of 2026. And guess what? The change comes a year earlier than the company's original commitment. Okay, overachievers. The company has faced pressure for years to remove artificial ingredients from its cereals, which it has already done in other countries like Canada. That pressure has grown under Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Not to mention, Kellogg signed an agreement with Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton last August, saying it would eliminate toxic dyes from its cereals. Kellogg said it will use fruit and vegetable-based juices to color their cereals, because no one wants their Fruit Loops to be taupe. And that's the news. Let's talk about MAGA. It's a tough time to be a fervent supporter of President Donald Trump. I mean, first, you're a fervent supporter of President Donald Trump. But also, you're probably getting pretty lonely. Support for Trump is dropping everywhere, with Quinnipiac measuring his approval at just 32% at the end of July. But how bad could it really be? Pretty bad. Even in ruby red Mississippi, Trump has an approval rating of 46%, a record low for the state. That's according to new data from Civics. So, what went wrong? If you're bow tie enthusiast Tucker Carlson, the answer is that Trump betrayed what MAGA truly stood for, which just so happens to be whatever Tucker thinks MAGA stood for. In fact, he argued in a live stream Wednesday night that both parties have turned against the American people, and he has some thoughts on what would make life better. A vision, you could call it.
We thought it'd be useful just to set down the goals of whatever comes next, and it'll find all kinds of expressions. And hopefully it's better than what we have, but we know it'll be different from what we have because what we have literally doesn't work. It can't protect itself from the greatest threats in human history.
Tucker didn't say in this live stream that he's going to run for president in 2028, but a lot of people think he should, including some of Trump's most prominent former allies. So I asked the Bulwark's Will Sommer, what's really behind Tucker Carlson's long rant? Will, welcome back to What A Day.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So on Wednesday night, Tucker Carlson live streamed for over an hour about his vision for America. He did not formally announce a presidential run. He said he does not want to run for president, but he basically unveiled a campaign platform. Can you quickly walk us through Tucker's wonderful ideas for America?
Yeah, I mean, basically, I think we could sum it up as him saying essentially, like, you know, everything sucks and, you know, I'm the only one who can fix it. I mean, he had 10 words that he said America has to be. And so it's optimistic, decent, sovereign.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Yeah. Who could disagree with that? And then he would dive in and say, like, okay, sovereign is about not just borders, but also, you know, banning foreign lobbyists and even like getting rid of debt, seemingly, even for people. He didn't exactly get into specifics, but it really looked like a campaign platform, even if he didn't say explicitly that he's running for president.
Yeah, the thing that struck me is that he said a lot of things like optimistic and beautiful, but those were all euphemisms. Like optimistic is a euphemism for everybody needs to have kids. Beautiful is a euphemism for violent crime makes everything ugly and it should be illegal to make ugly buildings. What else stuck out to you?
I felt like he was really positioning himself at the center of a lot of kind of like these populist revolts we're seeing, whether it's about these flock surveillance cameras or, you know, if you go on TikTok, there's a lot of people who are like, the data centers are buying up the farmland near me. And it's like, well, is that illegal per se? Or they're upset about solar panels, things like that. And I mean, the one that struck me was he really got into sort of like this idea that we're losing the American heartland to these things like the surveillance cameras or the data centers. And this idea that farms should be sacrosanct, sort of this idea, and it's a very Trumpian thing as well, that like this American golden age has been lost.
Yeah. And I have seen the flock surveillance thing all over the place. That has been something I think Carlson is correctly picking up on, a bipartisan concern that doesn't really seem to run conservative or liberal, because I've seen people on Blue Sky talking about it. Can you just very quickly explain what flock surveillance cameras are doing and where they are?
So these are these cameras that are typically set up alongside roadways by this company called Flock. And then they can be used, they track license plates and car movement. And so they can be used by local police departments. I think in the best case scenario is to say, okay, and then the criminal committed this crime and then we track them to where they were. But I think in practice, and the Washington Post and some other outlets have done a lot of reporting on this, these are like insanely abusive in terms of surveillance. The Washington Post had stories about cops being like, that's a hot lady. I'd like to know where she lives, or I'd like to track her movements.
People stalking former partners. Like, it's being used in the way that you kind of think the worst people would use something like this.
Exactly. And so there's this kind of broader sort of revolt against this idea of this surveillance. And I think Tucker, who's a very savvy guy about sort of what the next issue is going to be, he's saying, you know, we got to get rid of these cameras.
So Carlson's live stream came a few days after he hosted other notable ex-MAGA figures at his home. Former Georgia Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene posted a photo on Twitter showing Kentucky Representative Thomas Massie and ex-National Security Official Joe Kent, among others, and writing of Trump, quote, he's betrayed us all. So can you remind us all how they fell out of favor with the president?
Sure. So, you know, Thomas Massie has always been kind of a contrarian libertarian member of Congress, but him and Marjorie Taylor Greene, who's obviously much more devoted to Trump in the past, was a QAnon believer and all this stuff. The pair of them really fell out with Trump over their efforts to get the Epstein files released. They were, you know, one of the handful of Republicans who were in favor of that. And Trump essentially ran Marjorie Taylor Greene out of office and successfully primaried Thomas Massie as well. Now, Joe Kent is another interesting case. This is a guy who is very much in kind of like the Tucker Carlson, you know, more isolationist, more Israel critical mold. And yet he managed to be the U.S. counterterrorism chief in this new administration, up until he resigned in protest over the war with Iran. So you have a lot of people who were sort of Trump allies in various to various degrees who have now been cast out of MAGA world or have quit and have united in whatever this new effort is going to look like.
If you, like me, do not feel bad for people who supported Donald Trump and then got shafted by him, stick around. We'll get back to my conversation with Will Sommer in a moment. In the meantime, make sure to subscribe. Leave a 5-star review on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, watch us on YouTube, and share with your friends. More to come after some ads. What a Day is brought to you by Nutrafol. Summer is full of vacations, weekend getaways, and spending more time outdoors. And when you're packing for a trip, the last thing you want is to be worrying about your hair. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist-recommended hair growth supplement brand, and it's the number one hair growth supplement brand personally used by dermatologists. Nutrafol's hair growth supplements are peer-reviewed, NSF-certified for sport, and clinically tested. Let your hair be one less thing to worry about. See visibly thicker, stronger, faster-growing hair in 3 to 6 months with Nutrafol. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you visit Nutrafol.com and enter promo code DAY10. That's Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, promo code DAY10. What a Day is brought to you by Fast Growing Trees. Did you know Fast Growing Trees is America's largest and most trusted online nursery? With thousands of trees and plants and over 2 million happy customers, they have all the plants your yard or home needs, including fruit trees, privacy trees, flowering trees, shrubs, and houseplants, all grown with care and guaranteed to arrive healthy. It's like your local nursery, but anywhere you live, with more plants than you'll find anywhere else. Whatever you're looking for, Fast Growing Trees helps you find options that actually work for your climate, space, and lifestyle. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to get your dream yard. Just click, order, grow, and get healthy, thriving plants delivered to your door. Their Alive and Thrive guarantee promises that your plants arrive happy and healthy. No green thumb required, just quality plants you can count on. Plus, get ongoing support from trained plant experts who can help you plan your landscape, choose the right plants, and learn how to care for them every step of the way. My husband and I love giving our friends and family gifts from fast-growing trees. They always arrive happy, healthy, and ready for years of growing. Right now, they have great deals on planting essentials, up to half off on select plants. And listeners to our show get 20% off their first purchase when using the code WAD at checkout. That's an additional 20% off better plants and better growing at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code WAD at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code WAD. Now is the perfect time to plant. Let's grow together. Use WAD to save today. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply.
Hi, I'm Alex Wagner. I do not need to tell you that being an American right now is a wild ride. But as a longtime journalist, I am not interested in the noise or the fear-mongering. I'm interested in the stories at the heart of the headlines. That is why every week on my show, Runaway Country, I'm joined by folks in the middle of the crossfire. From disillusioned MAHA moms to newly fired immigration judges to Epstein victims themselves, to understand what it means to live through this political chaos as an actual human being. And now I'm excited to tell you that Runaway Country is available ad-free to Friends of the Pod subscribers. Friends of the Pod is the subscription that supports the work Crooked does as an independent media company and gives you a ton of great bonus and ad-free content. With the midterms approaching, you are going to need more content to keep you sane. And now you can find Runaway Country right there. Subscribe now at crooked.com/friends.
Let's get back to my conversation with Will Sommer. Back in July, Carlson told the Columbia Journalism Review, quote, "There's going to be a third party, and I'm going to do everything I can to bring it about." Now, third parties don't really work in the United States. And in my view, the best way a third party can work, and by best, I mean like most effective way for it to work, is to try to get one of the two main parties to do something they want. You see this from left-leaning parties, and you see this from the Libertarian Party, for example. So why does Tucker Carlson actually want to start a third party?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, third parties don't have a great track record in the U.S. in terms of like actually achieving power. I mean, typically they would just be siphoning off whatever their kind of like ideologically aligned major party is. I think there's a couple things going on here. Number one, I think Tucker Carlson was really close with J.D. Vance, and the war with Iran has kind of soured him on Vance for now. I think there's this sense of, you know, if J.D. won't do it right, maybe I'll have to do it myself and run for president instead. I think he feels kind of spurned by Trump and the administration more broadly. And then, you know, I mean, this is a guy, he has a big audience. I think he has a big ego. It seems like, you know, he's probably thinking, you know, maybe I should just run for president myself.
So underlying all of this is Tucker's idea that Trump failed MAGA by going against his America First promises, mishandling the Epstein files, going to war with Iran. And that's kind of the idea that you get from Marjorie Taylor Greene or from a host of these other people who all think like MAGA is a real thing and Trump has messed with it or betrayed it. But Trump has repeatedly says he's MAGA. Whatever MAGA is, that's him. And I agree with that. And I've been making that argument now for like 11 years, roughly, that whatever Trump says, that is what MAGA is. So who do you think is right here?
I think this can be kind of ideologically slippery. You know, but as you said, I think MAGA is essentially whatever Donald Trump says it is. And, you know, there's very little ideological consistency going on with the Trump administration. It's sort of whatever's convenient, whoever talked to Trump last, whoever he's mad at, whatever. And I think that's what's been driving this split between MAGA, which is essentially whatever Trump tells you to do or tells you to believe, and America First, which is how Marjorie Taylor Greene, I think, would say. Essentially, she was a true believer in Trumpism, whatever that was supposed to be in 2016 or 2020. And now they're kind of trying to, what Trump promised them, they're trying to actually fulfill.
So what do you think? Is Tucker Carlson actually going to run for president in 2028?
You know, after this monologue or this speech, I think he will. Obviously, you know, it's still a few years away, but I think he is... This sort of read to me like a presidential announcement speech. I think he's laying it out. I will say he didn't mention a lot of his crazier ideas independents might not like the demonism, the demonology, and all of these other kind of wackier ideas.
Also his views on minorities or women or anything like that. That's what got me about the use of euphemisms is like this idea that who could object to beauty? Who could object to sovereignty? But when he and Nick Fuentes are agreeing about how the real problem are women and that there's no such thing as a happy, married, liberal woman, like, again, ideological slipperiness is a theme for Tucker Carlson. So I think my next thought is, like, how do you think he would do? Because what we've seen with Thomas Massie and a host of other people is that there actually aren't that many America Firsters. I mean, they're very prevalent on Twitter, but, like, in the actual voting public, there are lots of people who voted for Trump and are just kind of fine with whatever he does, or they're not fine with whatever he does, and they just would vote for a Democrat.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I mean, I think Trump's new lows in the polls, I think we're around 32% now in terms of the approval rating. I think that does suggest that there's some amount of Trump supporters who are feeling discontented or people who had voted for Trump. Now, I think if Trump ran again, would they vote for him against a Democrat? Probably. But is all of that support going to transfer to J.D. Vance or Marco Rubio or whoever, especially if even Republicans continue to be unhappy with this administration? I mean, probably not. And so I think Tucker Carlson is recognizing, whether it's, I'm going to talk about the Epstein class, I'm going to talk about the data centers, these things that kind of split people away from Trump. I think he's rightly recognizing that there's going to be this pool of voters that you can capture.
Will, as always, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
That was my conversation with Will Sommer, senior reporter at The Bulwark. We'll link to his newsletter in the show notes. Before we go, if you haven't gotten tickets for CrookedCon yet, there are some exciting new faces joining us. At Crooked, we believe the answer to right-wing authoritarianism is a big, welcoming, fun pro-democracy movement. So we've invited some of the biggest, funniest voices online to all-day CrookedCon. At CrookedCon, you'll have the chance to meet creators and new media personalities who make sense of the news with humor and hot takes. They'll be bopping around the Washington Convention Center, hosting happy hours, Q&As, and workshops for attendees. They'll also be making content, because what happens at CrookedCon ends up online for every political nerd to see. Check out which creators are joining us so far at CrookedCon.com and grab your tickets today. See you in D.C. That's all for today. If you like the show, make sure you subscribe, leave a review, check out new images of the surface of the sun, and tell your friends to listen. And if you're into reading, and not just about how scientists in Maui, Hawaii, were able to capture the closest and best images of the sun's surface we've ever been able to see, like me, What A Day is also a nightly newsletter. Check it out and subscribe at crooked.com/subscribe. I'm Jane Costin, and if you want to experience the surface of the sun, I recommend just going outside. What A Day is a production of Crooked Media. Our show is produced by Caitlin Plummer, Emily Four, Erica Morrison, and Adrian Hill. Our team includes Haley Jones, Greg Walters, Matt Berg, Joseph Dutra, Johanna Kays, and Desmond Taylor. Our music is by Kyle Murdoch and Jordan Cantor. We had help today from the Associated Press. Our production staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East.
Hi, my name is Mitch Landrieu.
My name is Erin Haynes.
My name is Jennifer Palmieri, and we're hosting a new series called Long Play. The South is the new political epicenter of the country. Democrats are way on their heels in this region, but Republicans are going through their own reckoning in the South, too.
I mean, the South has always shaped American politics. We know that.
The stakes could not be higher, but to win the South, you have to understand it.
People in the South feel really misunderstood, left behind, put down on, and they want to explain that to somebody.
We're traveling across 6 southern states to explore the people, the issues, the assumptions that no longer hold, and what the rest of us are missing about a region that will shape the future of our politics and our country. From Left, Right, and Crooked Media, starting July 27th, watch Long Play Series on YouTube at youtube.com/longplayseries, or listen wherever you get your podcasts.